Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with Be Young Again. Not just a little flavor. Was Be Young Again, played by the orchestra. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let us take you back to last Wednesday night and show you how Jack and the rest of us celebrated New Year's Eve. Our little story opens at Jack's house around 7 p.m., where Jack, assisted by Rochester, is getting dressed for a big night
of the Rochester. Rochester, where did you put the cufflinks for my dress shirt?
The what?
The pearl cufflinks. What happened to them?
Don't you remember, boss? You said I could wear them to my lodge meeting the other night.
All right, now give me my cufflinks.
Well, here's what happened, boss. One of them slipped out of my cup and rolled under the pool table.
Uh-huh.
And when I got down on my knees to pick it up, somebody faded me.
Well, I'll be... So you lost one of my links in a crap game. What happened to the other one?
That lasted for about three passes, then bingo.
Well, that's a fine fix you put me in. What do you expect me to do, keep my hands in my pockets all evening?
Why don't you stick one of them in your vest like Napoleon?
Napoleon?
He was Emperor of France.
I know what he was. You don't have to tell me about Napoleon. My cousin Boo Boo's worn his hat sideways since he was 12 years old. Oh, well, I'll just have to roll these cuffs up a little and hope they stay there.
Pardon me, Mr. Benny, but what conveyance are you planning on to take you to the Biltmore Bowl?
You're driving us there in the Maxwell, of course. And then afterwards, the evening is yours. Are you going to celebrate tonight, Rochester?
Yes, sir. I'm going to a ball at the Central Avenue. You walk in, if you're not carried out, you get your money back, club.
Oh. Well, you better walk in and out. Now, remember, Rochester, you promised not to drink tonight.
Yes, sir. I'll just order martinis and eat the olives out of them.
That's right. You can eat all the olives you want.
I got a bad tooth, though. I might have to float them down.
What was that? Now, Rochester, I'm warning you for the last time. When you come to work tomorrow, if you're not... Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. Aren't you dressed yet?
I'm just finishing up.
Well, hurry. Dennis is waiting outside for us in a cab.
A cab? Mary, I told you Rochester's going to drive us down to the Biltmore and the Maxwell.
I am not riding in that smudge pot with this new evening gown.
You're going to take the Maxwell. You're not the only one that's dolled up, sister. I've got my tuxedo on.
You can burn that under an orange tree, too.
All right. We'll take a cab.
Then come on. Let's go.
I can't leave until little Carolyn Lee gets here. I promised to let her see me all dressed up.
That kid is sure crazy about you, boss.
Well, I have a way with the ladies, I guess, whether they're 6 or 60.
But in between, you can't get one unless they're hungry.
Listen, Mary, I'm a ladies' man at any age.
Then why did you phone at the last minute and make me break a date to go out with you tonight?
Because Stella Buggenhaven happens to be working. And I sent her an orchid this afternoon before I found out, like a darn fool.
How do you know she's working?
Because she canceled her date with me. You got to do retake on her new picture, The Sweetheart of Gopher Gulch.
Well, she looks like a gopher if I ever saw one.
Mary, if you ever looked a gopher right in the face, you'd see that they have beautiful, soft brown eyes. And so has Stella. Anyway, I'm hooked for an orchid. Oh, well.
Come on, Jack. That's Dennis waiting for us in the cab.
Well, run along. I'll join you in a minute. Here, take my violin with you.
Oh, Jack, you always have to drag that fiddle every place you go.
Mary, Phil's orchestra's playing there, and Phil may call on me to entertain. If he wants to remain on my program. Now, take it with you.
Okay. Happy New Year, Rochester.
Same to you, Miss Livingston.
Well, Rochester, I guess you can run along, too. Have a good time tonight.
Thanks, Mr. Benny.
And look, Rochester, I know it's New Year's Eve, so I'm not going to be a wet blanket. I'll tell you what. It's okay with me if you take one drink at the stroke of midnight.
There's 12 strokes, boss. Let's hit them all.
Well, Well, I'm not going to argue about it. You can go now, Rochester. But remember, I'm putting you on your honor.
That'll take care of everything. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rochester. Oh, by the way, have you seen... Oh, well, I'll find it. Must be around here somewhere. Yadadidadum, dadidadum. Dadam, bum, dadadum. Not there. I had it yesterday. I can't imagine what happened to it. I wonder if it's in the... Oh, hello, Carolyn.
Hello, Jack.
Well, I'm wearing my tuxedo. How do I look?
Gee, I think you're the prettiest man in the whole world.
Now, wait a minute, Carolyn. You're taking in a lot of territory. Prettiest man. By the way, honey, this afternoon when we were playing those games, did you hide something you didn't tell me about?
What do you mean, Jack?
Well, I've been looking all over for a certain something, and I can't find it. Did you hide it somewhere?
Huh? What do you think?
I think you did. Now, tell Uncle Jack where you put it.
No, you'll have to look for it.
Carolyn, I'm in a hurry. Now, tell me, where is it?
No, you'll have to guess.
Carolyn, I'm in no mood for guessing. Look, kid, I'm going out tonight. I've got to have my toupee. Now, Carolyn, please tell me, where did you put it?
Well, I was out in the yard, and a poor little bird didn't have any nest.
Oh, fine. Well, I'll just fluff my hair up a little. That'll have to do, I guess. I have to leave now, Carolyn, so kiss me goodnight, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I thought I was going with you.
Carolyn, I didn't say tonight. I said when you're 18 years old, I'll go out with you on New Year's Eve.
But when I'm 18, you'll be 35 or 40.
I'll take that. Now, good night, honey. Run along home and tell your mother I said Happy New Year.
I want to stay here and have some bread and jam.
You can have bread and jam tomorrow. Now, good night, Carolyn.
Good night, Jack. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, sweetheart. Four jars of jam already this week. Not only that, my toupee is up in a tree somewhere. Oh, well. I'm coming, I'm coming. Ooh, my shin. Darn, these dress shoes, they're too slippery. Gotta wear them more often. Oh, hello, Mr. Billingsley.
Good evening, Mr. Benny. A little cockeyed, I see.
No, I just tripped and fell down the steps. Say, you're home rather early, Mr. Billingsley. Aren't you going to wring out the old and ring in the new?
Not tonight. I always do my laundry on Monday.
Oh, I see.
Well, good night, Mr. Benny.
Good night.
A gentleman wouldn't say that.
Well, I never saw one that didn't. What does that mean? I can't figure him out at all.
Hurry up, Jack. We can't wait here all night.
I'm coming. Click, 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 click. Listen to that meter. 3:35 already. Wow. Say, Dennis, how come you haven't got a date? I thought you were going to bring a... Whoop, 3:40. I thought, Dennis, you were going to bring a girl tonight. What happened?
She had to work.
Oh. Oh, is she a chorus girl?
No, she's a welder at Lockheed.
Oh. Well, I can I can sympathize with you, Dennis. I had a date with Stella Buggenhaven tonight, but she had to do retakes on the sweetheart of... 350. I know that thing is going too fast. Gopher Gulch. It's too bad I sent her that orchid. Well, here we are at the Biltmore Bowl.
Look at that sign. Phil Harris and his orchestra, but come in anyway.
Yeah. How much is that, buddy?
Exactly what it says, $350.
Oh.
Let me pay it, Mr. Benny.
No, Dennis, this is on me.
But I insist.
Ah, nothing doing, kid. This is my treat.
Okay.
Here you are, buddy.
Thanks.
Come on, Mary.
Oh, boy, I bet we're going to have fun tonight.
Oh, boy, if you can't talk sense, shut up. Come on, let's go in. There's Phil's band. I hope he reserved a good table for us. Where do you think you're going, Dennis?
I'm going with you.
Oh, you are, eh?
Oh, Jack, for heaven's sake, what's the matter with you?
I can't stand a cheapskate. Have fun, but don't kick my violin. It's right there by your foot. Yeah, I wish I had a paper hat like everybody else.
What do you want with a paper hat?
You're supposed to wear one on New Year's Eve. I'll straighten this out. Where's the waiter? Pardon me, are you the waiter? What do I look like with this napkin over my arm? A roller towel? Now, just watch your step, bud. I happen to be a very good friend of Phil Harrison.
You can have him, too.
Now, look, waiter, you get me a paper hat, or I'll tell this young man with me not to leave a tip after he pays the check. Graham, the thing I hate is a fresh waiter.
Well, look who's here. Cash customers. Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Phil. You sure got a big crowd here tonight.
Why not? Good music, good food, and just oodles of Harris.
Hey, what more can anyone ask?
Say, Phil, I see you've got a bigger orchestra tonight. Isn't that a new man in the front row?
Where?
A big guy with a mustache.
He ain't no musician. That's a house detective.
Well, what's the house detective doing in your orchestra?
He claims the bass fiddle is full of spoons.
Are you kidding? Why, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, but if he ever looks in that tuba, we're cooked. Well, see you later, kids. I'm going over to say hello to Don Wilson. He and Peggy are in a big party over here.
Oh, well, time to drop over, huh? Hey, waiter. Waiter, what about that paper hat?
Here you are, a gorgeous green one.
How can I wear a green hat with my blue eyes? Colors clash.
Oh, what are you worried about? You'll be asleep in a few minutes anyway.
I'm going to stay up tonight. I took a Benzedrine. Get me another hat, waiter. And here's something else. There's no confetti at this table. When it's midnight and the celebration starts, what am I going to throw?
Shake that tuxedo and let the moths fly out.
Now, listen, you one more wisecrack and I'll speak to Baron Long, the owner of this hotel. He's a pal of mine. If you don't mind, we'd like to order drinks. What do you want, Mary?
I'll just have a lemonade.
Okay. I'll have a glass
of... Good evening, Mr. Burney. Are you having a good time tonight?
Yes, thank you.
That's good.
I'll have a... Who was that, Mary?
Your pal, Baron Long.
Oh. Waiter, I'll have a glass of muscatel.
How about you, Dennis?
Make mine a zombie.
A zombie? You'll have a lemonade the same as Mary.
Okay, but I'm going to hiccup.
All right, hick. Do anything you want. Waiter, that'll be two lemonades and a glass of muscatel for me.
Yes, sir. I'll bet you're a beast when you have a couple of drinks in you.
Quite the contrary, I'm very jovial. Don't forget that confetti. Come on, kid, let's blow our horns and have fun. Heaven's sake, it's New Year's.
Hey, Jack. Jack, look who just came in.
Where?
Coming down the steps. It's Rodney Dangerfield, that corny cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
And look who's with him.
Who? Well, I'll be Stella Buggenhaven. So she was working tonight, eh? Imagine ditching me for that.
Hello, Rodney.
Howdy, ma'am. A mighty happy New Year to you.
Same to you, partner.
And Jack, how be you?
I be fine. Now, who's the young lady with you, Rod?
Hello, Jack.
Well, it can't be Stella Buggenhaven. She's working tonight. And where did you get that lovely orchid, as if I didn't know?
Miss Buggenhaven? Why, Jack, I do believe you're jealous. Come on, Rodney, let's go to our own table.
Oh, no. Do join my little party. I bought that orchid. I'm going to smell it. One smell. Sit down. A waiter.
Yes, sir.
What do you have, Stella?
A champagne cocktail, please.
A champagne cocktail for Miss Buggenhaven.
Do you want to go that high, Daddy?
Just bring it. And what do you have, Mr. Dangerfield?
I'll have a great big tall glass of carrot juice.
Carrot juice? Isn't that a little too strong for you, Rod? Sissy?
Oh, Jack, you say the funniest thing.
Well, I've always got an answer, ain't it, Phil?
Hey, kids, they're still back in the bandstand. Looks like the show's going
to
start.
Oh, I hope he doesn't ask me to stand up and take a bow. Get the fiddle out of the cage, Dennis.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for our second show. And I see we have a lot of sobrilities sitting in our audience.
Sobrilities?
And I'd like to ask a few of them to stand up and take a bow. Now, first, I want you to meet one of the greatest movie stars.
Oh, I wish he wouldn't do that.
That famous cowboy of Western pictures, Rodney Dangerfield.
Thank you, folks. Thank you. I'm sure sorry I didn't bring my guitar.
Had to bring his gun along. What a ham.
And sitting right next to him is his lovely leading lady, that charming girl of the Golden West, Miss Stella Buggenhaven.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you all.
A very pretty speech, Stella. Brief, but it had a message.
You make me sick.
Behave.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce a very dear friend of mine. A great radio star who needs no introduction.
Dennis, give me the fiddle.
I have been associated with this grand personality for a number of years. And he came here tonight to relax and enjoy himself, just like everybody else.
There.
But I know if we insist, we can get Dennis Day to come up and sing a chorus for us.
What?
Come on up here, kid.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't me. I came here to relax and enjoy myself, like he said.
Well, sit down. You look like a sap with that violin under your chin.
Oh, yes.
How are you, Dennis? What's it going to be, kid?
I'm going to sing a song I did on the Jell-O program a few weeks ago, Rose O'Day.
Well, hit it, Pappy.
Hand me his lemonade, Mary. I'm going to put pepper in it.
You're my filigadusha, shinamarusha, ralda boom booty, rosa day. You're my filigadusha, shinamarusha, ralda boom booty, rosa day. You're my filigadusha, shinamarusha, ralda boom booty. You're daring, you're darling, you're lovely. That's what I mean when I say Rosa Day. You're my filigadoosh, shinamaroosh, malarala, bumpoodie. Oh, Johnny McCarthy loved Rosie O'Day. She was the prettiest thing, so they say. And every night in this sweet Irish way, under her window he'd sing in this way. And Moriarty sued and a who, Mary Malone and the rest who they do. They all want his favors, and what does he do? He sings to the one he loves best that he do. Rose O'Day, Rose O'Day, you're my filigadoosha, shinnamarusha, ballarala, boom, tootie-ay. Rose O'Day, Rose O'Day, you're my filigadoosha, shinnamarusha, ballarala, boom, tootie-ay. You're daring, you're darling, or you're lovely. Sure, that's what I mean when I say Rose O'Day, oh, Rose O'Day. You're my filigadoosha, shinnamarusha, ballarala, boom, tootie, boom, tootie, boom, tootie, sweet Rose O'Day.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis. That was swell, kid, and I appreciate your getting up here.
Don't be so obvious. If you can't see your violin, the heck with them.
Yeah, that's right, the heck with them. And now, folks, sitting at a table on the other side of the room is my old pal and one of the greatest announcers in radio, Don Wilson. Come on, Don, say something, will you?
Okay, Phil. Hello again, this is Don Wilson speaking.
Hello again, he stole that from me.
And I hope you're all having as much fun as I am tonight. I've had six delicious dishes of Jell-O and am I raring to go.
I've been saying Jell-O again for years. It's mine.
In a few minutes now, it'll be 12 o'clock, and I want to wish you all a very happy and prosperous New Year.
Nice going, Don.
Hi, Mary. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Mary, pass me that glass of water, will you?
What are you taking there?
Another Benzedrine. I'm getting sleepy. Thanks.
And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Hey, Phil.
Oh, yes. And now, folks, here comes the biggest surprise of the evening. I'm sure that with a little encouragement and applause, we can get Jack Benny to come up here...
and play a violin solo. Here I come. Well, I'm a little embarrassed here. Thanks for asking me to come up here, Phil, although I'm really not prepared. However, ladies and gentlemen, I've had many requests...
Sit down, you bum! Sit down!
One drunk in the audience, he had to wait for me. Oh, well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've had many, many requests to play Love and Bloom. And being in a sentimental mood this evening, I'm only too happy to oblige. Love and Bloom, folks. I hope you like it.
It's 1942, folks. Happy New Year!
For a mighty swell dessert, friends. It's Jack Benny's Jellied Fruit Medley, and one of Jack Benny's own special favorites. And it's an easy recipe to remember. Just canned fruit salad molded in strawberry Jell-O. All you have to do is dissolve one package of Jell-O imitation strawberry flavor in one pint of hot fruit juice and water. Next, chill until slightly thickened, and fold in one can of fruit salad cut into small pieces. Chill until firm, and then serve with a garnishing of spicy mint leaves and bright red cherries. You'll say, as does Jack, that this is one of the finest desserts you ever tasted. Many grocers are featuring canned fruit salad and strawberry Jell-O all next week. Get both tomorrow and make up this grand treat. Just be sure when you buy to get Jell-O, because Jell-O's locked-in process brings you the flavor for your enjoyment.
The last number of the 14th program in the current Jell-O series, and we will be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. And, folks, that's exactly what happened when we went out and celebrated on New Year's Eve.
Tell them what happened in the cab on the way home.
All right, so I fell asleep. How many Bens and Reeds do you think I carry with me? Good night, folks.
In place of our regular program, Recording Library of West Texas is proud to present the best from old-time radio. We hope you'll enjoy this holiday episode from the golden age of radio.
Mother, is Maxwell House really the only coffee in the world?
Well, your father says so, and your father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as Father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. Brought to you by America's favorite coffee, Maxwell House. The coffee that's always good to the last drop. As far back as I can remember, I've been hearing about people who were poor as Job's turkey. Well, the chances are that poor old Job never had a turkey, but he did have troubles. And that's where the average father comes in. So let's go to Springfield to a white frame house on Maple Street and an average father named Anderson. Because when it comes to trouble, Jim Anderson takes a back seat to no one. Like this.
Margaret, I'm home.
We're in the kitchen, dear.
I'll be right in. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home.
Daddy!
Hiya, kitten. Well, how are all the little Andersons tonight?
Hi, Father.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, dear.
Strawberry.
I don't care if he didn't do it on purpose. He had no right to break his leg.
What?
I turned down a dozen dates just to go out with him, and now look at me.
Norman McHugh had a skiing accident and broke his leg.
Who's Norman McHugh?
He's Claudia McHugh's brother.
Thank you very much. Who's Claudia McHugh?
She's a girl.
Oh, well, that explains everything.
You're welcome.
Betty, it isn't the worst thing that's ever happened.
It certainly is. My whole life is ruined.
Because Norman McHugh broke his leg?
He was supposed to take her to a New Year's Eve dance.
Oh.
It's the biggest dance of the whole year, and...
Every dance you ever go to is the biggest dance of the whole year. Don't you ever go to any small dances?
Every girl in Springfield will be there, except me.
I won't be there.
Why don't you go with somebody else?
And I'm a girl.
Don't you think I'd like to? But everybody else has a date.
I'll go with Bud.
Father!
Holy cow.
Jim, we've just been all through this. Betty doesn't want to go with Bud.
And I don't want to go with her.
I'll go with anybody.
Jim.
Now look, Margaret, between rushing around for Christmas...
Why couldn't he have broken his leg next week?
Betty, I was speaking to your mother.
I would have to pick the one boy in Springfield.
Betty!
I don't know what's gotten into this family. When I was a boy and my father was speaking to my mother, I showed him some respect.
Mom.
I didn't go on talking as though nothing had happened. I wouldn't have had the nerve.
Mom.
But this family... All I have to do is open my mouth, and it's a signal for the start of a general conversation.
Mom.
Bud, please be quiet.
But I want to tell you.
Bud.
But if I...
You'll wait until I'm finished. Is that understood?
Yes, Dan.
All right. What was I saying?
We have to shut up.
Well, see that you do. Have I made myself clear? Betty?
Yes, Father.
Good. Now, what is it, Bud?
Something on the stove is burning.
What?
Well, I was trying to tell you.
My cream turkey is ruined.
I thought something smelled funny.
Oh, what are we going to do, Jim? That was the last bit of turkey in the house.
Oh, frankly, Margaret, I'm just as happy.
Why, Jim?
We haven't eaten anything but turkey since Christmas, and I've had just about all I can stand.
Jim Anderson.
Cream turkey, cold turkey.
Turkey hash.
Turkey croquettes.
I was under the impression that this family liked turkey.
We do, but there's a limit to everything.
Last night I gobbled.
That will be quite enough, Kathleen.
Gee whiz.
Honey, I don't want you to think that it's your fault.
I never said it was. And I certainly wasn't going to throw out perfectly good turkey.
Well, let's not argue about it. It's gone and... Well, what are you waiting for, Bud?
What?
The doorbell rang.
That was the back door.
Well?
It is my job to answer the back door.
Go ahead, Kathy.
Gee whiz, why don't we take turns? I'm getting tired of the back door.
I told you in the very beginning a 12-pound turkey would have been quite enough.
Margaret.
But no, we had to have a 20-pound turkey. You were hungry.
Margaret, if you don't mind, I'd just as soon forget the whole thing.
Hiya, Jim.
Oh, hello, Heck. Come on in.
Hello, Margaret.
Hello,
Betty.
Hector.
Bud. How's Elizabeth, Heck?
Oh, pretty good. Jim, so help me, you're the luckiest guy I've known in my life.
What'd I do now?
You could fall into a well and come up with a diamond necklace or a string of pearls or...
Hector.
Margaret, you don't know what this guy did. 10 cents, that's all he gave me, just one little dime.
Heck, what on earth are you talking about?
The chance you took.
Oh, no.
Buys one measly little chance...
Heck, please.
And I... then he wins the turkey.
Jim.
Margaret, I had no idea I was going to win. I just happened to have a dime, and it was Heck's club, and he said...
Well, what's the matter? Aren't you glad?
Oh, sure. But you see, we were just going through a little thing here.
Hector, how large is the turkey?
35 pounds. Hey, you want to bring him in, Ed?
Okay, Heck.
Is that Ed Davis?
Yeah, I was having a little trouble getting it out of the car, and Ed just happened to come by.
Mommy,
so...
isn't it wonderful?
Hiya, Jim. Now, easy, boy.
Jim, it's alive.
Jumping, Jehoshaphat.
Mother.
Boy, is that a big one.
Hang on to him, Ed.
Easy, boy. Easy, boy. Take it easy, you rattle-brained nincompoop.
Mr. Davis, you're hurting him.
I'm hurting him. After he dragged me halfway up the driveway...
Gosh, look at those feathers.
Margaret.
Isn't he beautiful? Mother, he's looking at me.
Margaret.
The club got him from a farm up near Plainville, and the man said
Margaret,
that he's...
Margaret, will you please say something?
I will, later.
Heck, look, if it's all the same to you...
Well, I gotta be running along. Take the rope, will you, Bud?
I don't know if my father...
Come on, Bud, I'm gonna be late for dinner as it is.
Dad?
Go ahead, Bud. Take it.
Easy, fella. Nice boy.
His name is Irene.
Nice, I mean.
Since when do they give names to turkeys?
Well, the farmer said his kids made a pet out of this one. That's why we got it cheap. They wouldn't let him kill it.
I'll help you, Bud. Nice, Irene. Pretty boy. Nice. Boy,
attaboy. Sensitive little thing, isn't it?
Well, I better get out or I'll be here all night. Congratulations, Jim. See you later, Margaret.
Bye, Ed. Wait a second, Ed. So long, folks. Save me a piece of the white meat.
Margaret.
Well.
Now, wait a minute, honey. I didn't do anything wrong. All I did was win a turkey. It wasn't my fault.
Jim, when I think of the fuss you were making about turkey...
I wasn't making a fuss.
Turkey hash, turkey croquettes, turkey a la king.
Oh, Margaret, please.
Daddy, look, he shakes hands. Isn't that wonderful?
Jim, that is the biggest turkey I have ever seen. It'll take us weeks.
Nobody said we had to keep it. We'll sell it or give it away. Or we can... Say...
Why don't we keep it till next Thanksgiving?
I know what we can do. It'll take care of Betty and everybody else. We'll have a party.
Father!
Jim, we're just getting over Christmas.
A New Year's Eve party, that's what we'll have. And it won't cost us a cent.
Oh, Father, you're wonderful!
Boy, that is an idea.
Why don't we keep it till next Thanksgiving?
We can invite everybody we know, repay all our social obligations. And there won't be a bit of turkey left over.
Jim, it isn't a question of how much turkey we'll have left over.
Honey, it won't be a bit of trouble, I promise you. We'll all pitch in and help, won't we, kids?
I think it's a wonderful idea, Father.
Is it all right if I invite Joe?
How about it, Margaret?
Why don't we just keep it till next Thanksgiving?
Margaret?
Well, if everybody thinks we should.
Oh, Mother, you're an angel.
Get a few pickles and things. All right, Bud, put him away somewhere.
What?
The turkey. You're not going to stand there and hold him all night, are you?
I don't know.
What do we do with him, Jim?
Well, in the morning, I'll take him down to the butcher.
I'll wear my new blue dress and my silver shoes.
In the meantime, put Irene out in the garage.
Me?
Anybody. I don't care.
Come on, boy.
Daddy, you can't. He'll freeze.
Well, he certainly can't park in here all night.
Well, he can sleep in my room.
He cannot.
It's as much my room as it is yours.
Mother!
Of course he can't sleep up there, Kathy.
Why?
Because he'd be uncomfortable sleeping with girls.
Oh!
Take him out in the garage, Bud.
Okay.
Oh, Bud, wait. He will freeze, Jim, and we can't be cruel.
Well, he certainly can't stay in the house, can he?
Well, how about the playroom?
All right. Go ahead, Bud. Take him downstairs.
Come on, Irene.
Daddy, I have a wonderful idea.
Yes?
Why don't we keep him till next New Year's?
Now, there's a girl who can come up with some wonderful ideas. Of course, where ideas are concerned, give Father a little credit, too. Yes, sir, the man of the house knows most about lots of things. For one thing, ladies, when it comes to knowing about coffee, truly good coffee you enjoy cup after cup, the world's greatest expert is that man of yours. Yes, the number one expert is your husband. Of course, to the coffee trade, we're experts, too. They know more people enjoy our Maxwell House coffee than any other brand. But when you brew the coffee and fill the cups, the expert you aim to please, he's your husband. And tomorrow, if you'll fill his cup with Maxwell House, we're sure he'll say,
"Now that's real coffee. Best I ever tasted."
In fact, if he doesn't, we'll give you back your money. We're that sure. We know there's no coffee tastes like Maxwell House because no coffee's made like Maxwell House. You see, there's only one recipe anywhere for that famous good to the last drop flavor. A recipe demanding certain fine coffees blended just so. And only Maxwell House has that recipe. Knowing this, won't you get Maxwell House coffee tomorrow? Serve it to your husband. If he doesn't say, "Best coffee ever," just send us the can, an unused portion, and we'll gladly refund the price you paid. Our address is right on every familiar blue tin. Tomorrow and through the new year, serve coffee that'll please the world's greatest coffee expert. Serve your husband Maxwell House coffee. Always good to the last drop.
Shortly before the turn of the century, a poet named Leland wrote a series of verses titled Frost Pictures. In stanza four, he said, and we quote, "A New Year's gift to the world," said the frost, "rich lace curtains that nothing cost." Some 50 years later, a non-poetic father named Anderson said, and we quote,
It's an outrage, that's what it is, an outrage.
But, Jim, you told Mr. Campbell...
$7.30 for nuts? I told him I wanted a few little nuts, that's what I told him.
You told him you wanted 5 or 6 pounds of assorted nuts, and when he said...
Margaret, just a moment, please. May I ask one question? Whose side are you on?
It isn't a question.
It certainly is a question. You were standing right next to me, and I said to him, we're having a party for a few friends, and I'd like a few nuts. That's all I said. Wasn't it?
You said 5 or 6 pounds.
Well, why did you let me say 5 or 6 pounds?
Father!
This whole thing started out just a little get-together.
Father, may I have $9?
No. If I hadn't won that knot-headed turkey in the first place...
But the man's waiting.
Well, let him wait. I said we'd invite a few friends. We wind up with half of Springfield.
Father, the man says it's $9 and he can't leave the package if he doesn't get it.
I don't care if he... What package?
Oh, dear, that must be the noisemakers.
The what?
Jim, you can't have a New Year's Eve party.
$9 for noisemakers?
No. But we had to have paper plates and napkins, and I thought a few decorations would look nice.
Betty.
Yes, Father?
Here's my wallet. Just stand in front of the house and throw money at anybody who walks by.
Okay, Father. I'll let you know when I run short.
Yes, you do that.
Jim.
Honey, this is getting ridiculous. I've done nothing but pay bills ever since Hector walked in here with that free turkey.
But, Jim, you can't have 40 people.
I didn't say I wanted 40 people. All I said was...
You said we were going to pay our social obligations.
All right, but since when are we obligated to 40 people? I don't even know 40 people.
Now, look, Jim, let's be fair about it. I haven't asked one single person...
Since when do we owe anything to the Clarks? I haven't even seen Tom Clark in almost 2 years.
Well?
And the Donaldsons. I don't even like the Donaldsons.
I know, Jim.
Then why did you ask them?
Because Kay Donaldson is the only one in the neighborhood with a large enough pan, that's why.
What?
I suppose you think it's easy to find a pan that'll hold a 35-pound turkey. I certainly wasn't going to buy one just for this once.
I know, honey, but I thought if we just bought a few pickles...
Jim Anderson, you can't have a party with just turkey and pickles.
Well, sure, but...
I just bought the things that any decent housewife would buy, and not one thing more.
Margaret,
here's the list. And if you can find one thing we didn't need, but one thing...
Margaret...
You can't make an aspic salad without Jell-O, and you certainly have to have lettuce.
I know, but...
And what else did I buy? Just olives and celery, radishes, onions, tomatoes, carrots, potatoes...
But...
Coffee, milk, butter, bread, cheese...
But...
Cranberries, apples, pears, cherries, grapes...
But...
Ice cream and mince pie and pumpkin pie and a few little cakes...
But...
And mince and potato chips and a ham. And how can you possibly have a party without things like that?
But...
I think you're being very unreasonable about the whole thing.
But...
I really do.
But... Is that all?
Yes, that's all.
Honey, look, it isn't worth arguing about, is it?
Of course not.
Well, then let's forget about the whole thing, okay?
All right.
Good.
But if you say one more word...
I won't, so help me. Not another word.
Mom.
Did you get it, Bud?
Boy, is it heavy.
No matter what comes up, I'll just grin and... Ye gods, what's that?
Where do you want me to put it, Mom?
On the table, dear. That'll be fine.
I think she's got it stuffed with lead.
What is it, a wash boiler?
It's Mrs. Donaldson's roaster.
Margaret.
Yes, Jim?
Where's the stove that goes with it?
What?
The stove. You certainly don't expect to get that thing in our oven, do you?
Well, I... Oh, dear.
This is fine. Now we'll have 5 pounds of mixed nuts and a new stove.
Don't be ridiculous.
Well, it certainly won't fit in the one we've got.
How would it be if we banged in the sides a little?
The roaster or the stove?
We'll have to send it down to the tavern, that's all.
The stove or the roaster?
The turkey. We can have it cooked for 20 cents a pound.
A few pickles, that's all I said.
Jim, when will the turkey be ready?
Oh, well, Johnny said if I'd bring it over to his house...
You mean you haven't?
Well, he said it would only take an hour to kill and clean it, and Kathy was having such a good time with it.
But it's after 10 o'clock.
Well, I didn't figure there was any hurry, so...
Do you know how long it takes to cook a 35-pound turkey?
Couple of hours, I guess.
A couple? It takes 15 minutes a pound and 35 pounds. That's almost 9 hours.
Takes that long, huh?
Jim Anderson, I...
Well, we'd better get started. Bud, why don't you take Irene?
Me? Why do I have to do it?
Now, just a minute, Bud. You're going to eat the turkey, aren't you?
Well, sure, but why do I have to be the one to have him killed?
Margaret, have you ever heard anything so ridiculous in your whole life?
Well, Bud has become very attached to Irene.
Oh,
why doesn't Betty take him down? She doesn't even like him.
That isn't so.
Well, you run away from him every time he comes over.
That has nothing to do with it. I think he's very cute.
Bud, he's only a turkey.
Then why don't you take him down?
Just a minute, Bud. Let's not forget, I'm still your father.
I'm sorry, Dad, but holy cow.
Jim, I don't know how much more of this I can stand. You've been arguing the same thing for 3 days.
Honey, look, you'd know exactly what to tell Johnny. I mean, about how you want him cleaned and everything.
There isn't anything to tell him. You just clean it, that's all.
Okay, I've got another idea. Kathy!
You want me, Daddy?
Bring Irene up here like a good girl.
Okay.
Now, here's what we'll do. We'll put Irene in the car, and we'll all drive over to Johnny's together.
Jim.
It'll do us good to get out in the fresh air and...
Jim Anderson, you're afraid.
Afraid? Why, Irene and I get along fine.
That isn't what I mean. You're afraid to have him killed.
Margaret, how can you say a thing like that? It's just that... Well, I've got a million things to do around here. I've got to,
Yes?
Well, I expect to be very busy all morning. And I certainly think that with 3 children in the house... Now look, Bud.
I'm sorry, Dad, but I don't want to have anything to do with it.
And don't look at me.
That's fine. That's just fine. I ask you to do one little thing for me.
Daddy, isn't this cute? Come on.
Oh, no.
My good coat!
Kathy, why do you insist on teasing that poor bird?
Oh, but he likes it. Don't you, Irene?
What's he supposed to be? Santa Claus?
Kathy, take my coat off him right now.
Gee whiz, you can't even have any fun.
And take the ribbon off his head.
Yes, Mommy. Excuse me, Irene.
Jim?
Hmm?
Go ahead.
What?
Jim, it's got to be done, and now.
Well, okay. Let me have the rope, Kathy.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to take Irene for a little ride, that's all.
No!
Bud, take the roaster and the dressing.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Mother.
Now, we've got to be sensible about this, you know.
I'll be, back in a little while. Now, come on, Irene.
Mommy!
Oh, my poor baby.
Why, is this a party?
Yahoo!
Having fun, Tom?
Jim, I've got to hand it to you. When you throw a party, it's a party.
Well, if you're going to do a thing, you might as well do it right. That's what I always say.
Yes, sir.
Oh, excuse me, Tom. Heck, can I speak to you for a minute?
Yahoo!
Oh, how you doing, Jim? Ed and I were just saying...
We feel sort of like the fairy godfather to this whole clam bake.
You do, huh?
Why, sure. We brought the turkey over, didn't we?
What a turkey.
Yeah.
And what a party. I've had 3 helpings of everything.
You've had 4.
Well, who keeps score?
Jim does. Very funny, both of you. And I hope you know what this party's costing me, you and your turkey.
What are you kicking about?
Only cost you a dime, didn't it?
That's what you think.
Daddy!
By the time I got through with...
Daddy, want to hear something cute?
I'm very busy, Kathleen.
Oh, but it'll only take a second. Go ahead, honey. That means Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, Irene.
He was cute, wasn't he, Mommy?
Yes, dear.
Cute. I wish I'd never laid eyes on him. May I have my coffee, please?
Of course, dear.
It's a good thing the butcher had an extra turkey, wasn't it, Dad?
Oh, yes. Haven't you heard? I'm a very lucky fella.
Oh, Jim, you know you're just as happy as we are that Irene wasn't killed.
Sure. I'm the happiest guy in Springfield. I'm very happy.
Mr. Thompson says he'll have his own cage and everything.
May I please have the cream and sugar?
And I don't think 50 cents is very much.
It's cheap, considering how much Irene eats.
And the man said we can visit him every Sunday if we want to.
Will someone please pass the cream and sugar?
You know, Dad...
Bud, please, not now. Here you are, dear.
Thank you. 50 cents a week. That's $26 a year. Just because I took one measly 10-cent chance.
Gee, isn't it nice to have a lucky father?
During this holiday season, we'd like to wish you a very happy new year. For our part, during the year ahead, we're going to see to it that you enjoy wonderfully good coffee every pound of Maxwell House you open. We know that these days you're on the lookout for the most in flavor for every penny you spend. And next year, just as every year, for more than half a century, that's what you can expect in every pound of our Maxwell House coffee. A generous extra measure of flavor in every familiar blue tin. And with this promise from Maxwell House, let me extend again our sincerest wishes for a very happy new year.
Friends, this is Robert Young. Tonight, for a moment, I'd like to talk to you about a timely and all-important subject, safe driving. First, I want to report that during 1950, our Father Knows Best highway safety campaign has resulted in more than 3 million highway safety contracts between parents and their children. We're pretty proud of our part in that accomplishment. We're proud, too, of the makers of Maxwell House Coffee, who have a carefully planned highway safety campaign of their own. Theirs is a campaign to help make the highways safer by improving the safety records of their own drivers. It is a plan that will work for anybody. It will work for you. And to tell you about it, I'm happy to introduce Mr. Clarence Francis, Chairman of the Board of General Foods Corporation. Mr. Francis.
Good evening, everyone. Our salesmen, the men who call on your grocer in behalf of our products, operate more than 1,500 automobiles. Day in and day out, these men travel practically every highway in the country and visit every town and city. They are your neighbors, and as part of the job of being good neighbors, we have encouraged them to be good drivers, safe drivers, who respect your rights on the highway. Years ago, we became alarmed at the nation's highway accident rate, and at our own. We knew then that most accidents are preventable. 2 years ago, we asked our men to pledge themselves to become safer drivers. And we arrange to remind them of this every time they get into their cars. We do this by placing each salesman's safety record on the dashboard of his car, an emblem which recognizes the achievements of safe drivers. Tonight, I am happy to tell you that our men have responded to this challenge. They have again improved their safety record. Over a 2-year period, they have reduced our accident rate by one-third. Tonight, once again, I am challenging each of our drivers, both in the United States and in Canada, to drive his General Foods car safely through the whole year of 1951. And as we go into 1951, we all face a challenge. A challenge to everything we hold important. This is a year of crisis and of great national effort. And it calls for sacrifice and self-discipline by all of us. Here is something we each can do to strengthen our country at this time of need. We can help preserve our most precious national resource, our human resource. by resolving to reduce the toll of highway accidents. So I hope you and our audience tonight will join us in our pledge to drive safely through 1951.
At breakfast time, you don't have to say,
"You children eat your cereal right this instant."
Just say,
"Hopalong Cassidy is crazy about hot wheat meal."
Just a little psychology. Yes, to get your children to eat a hot cereal, just tell them post-wheat meal is Hopalong Cassidy's favorite hot cereal, and they'll eat it too. Post-wheat meal is chock full of solid whole wheat nourishment, has a wonderful nut-like flavor, and it cooks in just 3.5 minutes. You'll see, you'll all agree, it's the best hot cereal you ever ate.
Father Knows Best was transcribed in Hollywood and written by Ed James. Join us again next week when we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson, with Roy Bargy and the Maxwell House Orchestra, and yours truly, Bill Foreman. So until next Thursday night, for all of us and for the makers of Maxwell House coffee, may we wish you again a very happy New Year.
Jack Webb and Dragnet, good listening next on NBC.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 39 and mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 30s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
It's 2 p.m.
Because our regularly scheduled program was not available at broadcast time, we bring you the following special presentation.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by the Georgia Radio Reading Service, GARS. Hello, I am Morgan Madeline, bringing you Martha Stewart Living. I'll be reading